of conditions of peace. These brave speeches of these four noble captains the town of Mansoul refused to hear. Yet a sound thereof did beat against your gate, though the force thereof could not break it open. In fine, the town desired a time to prepare their answer to these demands. The captains then told them that if they would throw out to them one Ill Paws that was in the town, that they might reward him according to his works, then they would give them time to consider. But if they would not cast him to them over the wall of Mansoul, then they would give them none. For, said they, we know that, so long as Ill Paws draws breath in Mansoul, all good consideration will be confounded, and nothing but mischief will come thereon. Then Diabolus, who was there present, being loath to lose his Ill Paws, because he was his orator, and yet be sure he had, could the captains have laid their fingers on him, was resolved at this instant to give them answer by himself. But then changing his mind, he commanded the then Lord Mayor, the Lord Incredulity, to do it, saying, my Lord, do you give these runagates an answer, and speak out, that Mansoul may hear and understand you. So Incredulity, at Diabolus' command, began and said, gentlemen, you have here, as we do behold, to the disturbance of our prince and the molestation of the town of Mansoul, camped against it. But from whence you come, we will not know, and what you are, we will not believe. Indeed, you tell us in your terrible speech that you have this authority from Shaddai. But by what right he commands you to do it, of that we shall yet be ignorant. You have also by authority aforesaid summoned this town to desert her lord, and for protection to yield up herself to the great Shaddai, your king, flatteringly telling her that if she will do it, he will pass by and not charge her with her past offenses. Further, you have also to the terror of the town of Mansoul threatened with great and sore destructions to punish this corporation, if she consents not to do as your wills would have her. Now, captains, from whencesoever you come, and though your designs be ever so right, yet know ye that neither my lord Diabolus, nor I his servant, Incredulity, nor yet our brave Mansoul, doth regard either your person's message or the king that you say hath sent you. His power, his greatness, his vengeance, we fear not, nor will we yield at all to your summons. As for the war that you threaten to make upon us, we must therein defend ourselves as well as we can. And know ye that we are not without wherewithal to bid defiance to you. And, in short, for I will not be tedious, I tell you that we take you to be some vagabond runagate crew, that having shaken off all obedience to your king, have gotten together in tumultuous manner, and are ranging from place to place to see if, through the flatteries you are skilled to make on the one side, and threats wherewith you think to fright on the other, to make some silly town, city, or country desert their place and leave it to you. But Mansoul is none of them. To conclude, we dread you not, we fear you not, nor will we obey your summons. Our gates we keep shut upon you, our place we will keep you out of, nor will we long suffer you to sit down before us. Our people must live in quiet, your appearance doth disturb them. Wherefore arise with bag and baggage and be gone, or we will let fly from the walls against you. This oration made by old Incredulity was seconded by desperate Will-be-will in words to this effect. Gentlemen, we have heard your demands and the noise of your threats, and have heard the sound of your summons, but we fear not your force. We regard not your threats, but will still abide as you found us. And we command you that in 3 days' time you cease to appear in these parts, or you shall know what it is once to dare offer to rouse the lion Diabolus when asleep in his town of Mansoul. The recorder, whose name was Forget Good, he also added as followeth, "Gentlemen, my lords, as you see, have with mild and gentle words answered your rough and angry speeches. They have, moreover, in my hearing, given you leave quietly to depart as you came. Wherefore, take their kindness and be gone. We might have come out with force upon you and have caused you to feel the dint of our swords. But as we love ease and quiet ourselves, so we love not to hurt or molest others." Then did the town of Mansoul shout for joy, as if by Diabolus and his crew some great adventure had been gotten of the captains. They also rang the bells and made merry and danced upon the walls. Diabolus also returned to the castle, and the Lord Mayor and Recorder to their place. But the Lord Will-be-Will took special care that the gate should be secured with double guards, double bolts, and double locks and bars, and that ear gate especially might the better be looked to, for that was the gate in at which the king's forces sought most to enter. The Lord Will-be-Will made one old Mr. Prejudice, an angry and ill-conditioned fellow, captain of the ward at the gate, and put under his power 60 men called deaf men, men advantageous for that service, for as much as they mattered no words of the captains nor of the soldiers. Now when the captains saw the answer of the great ones, and that they could not get a hearing from the old natives of the town, and that Mansoul was resolved to give the king's army battle, they prepared themselves to receive them, and to try it out by the power of the arm. And first they made their force more formidable against Eargate, for they knew that, unless they could penetrate that, no good could be done upon the town. This done, they must put the rest of their men in their places, after which they gave out the word, which was, "Ye must be born again." Then they sounded the trumpet, and then they in the town made them answer, with shout against shout, charge against charge, and so the battle began. Now they in the town had planted upon the tower over Eargate two great guns, the one called High Mind and the other Heady. Unto these two guns they trusted much. They were cast in the castle by Diabolus' founder, whose name was Mr. Puffup, and mischievous pieces they were. But so vigilant and watchful, when the captain saw them, were they, that though sometimes their shot would go by their ears with a whiz, yet they did them no harm. By these two guns the townsfolk made no question but greatly to annoy the camp of Shaddai, and well enough to secure the gate. But they had not much cause to boast of what execution they did, as by what follows will be gathered. The famous Mansoul had also some other small pieces in it, of the which they made use against the camp of Shaddai. They from the camp also did as stoutly, and with as much of that as may in truth be called valor, let fly as fast at the town and at Eargate. For they saw that unless they could break open Eargate, it would be but in vain to batter the wall. Now the king's captains had brought with them several slings, and two or three battering rams. With their slings, therefore, they battered the houses and people of the town, and with their rams they sought to break Eargate open. The camp and the town had several skirmishes and brisk encounters, while the captains with their engines made many brave attempts to break open or beat down the tower that was over Eargate, and at the said gate to make their entrance. But Mansoul stood it out so lustily, through the rage of Diabolus, the valor of the Lord Will-be-Will, and the conduct of old Incredulity, the mayor, and Mr. Forget-Good, the recorder, that the charge and expense of that summer's wars on the king's side seemed to be almost quite lost, and the advantage to return to Mansoul. But when the captain saw how it was, they made a fair retreat and entrenched themselves in their winter quarters. Now in this war you must needs think there was much loss on both sides, of which be pleased to accept of this brief account following. The king's captains, when they marched from the court to come up against Mansoul to war, as they came crossing over the country, they happened to light upon three young fellows that had a mind to go for soldiers. Proper men they were, and men of courage and skill to appearance. Their names were Mr. Tradition, Mr. Human Wisdom, and Mr. Man's Invention. So they came up to the captains and proffered their service to Shaddai. The captains then told them of their design and bid them not to be rash in their offers. But the young men told them they had considered the thing before, and that hearing they were upon their march for such a design, came hither on purpose to meet them, that they might be listed under their excellencies. Then Captain Bonerges, for that they were men of courage, listed them into his company, and so away they went to the war. Now when the war was begun in one of the briskest skirmishes, so it was, that a company of the Lord Wilby Will's men sallied out at the sally port, or postern, of the town, and fell in upon the rear of Captain Bonerges' men, where these three fellows happened to be. So they took them prisoners, and away they carried them into the town, where they had not lain long in durance, but it began to be noised about the streets of the town that three notable prisoners the Lord Wilby Will's men had taken, and brought in prisoners out of the camp of Shaddai. At length tidings thereof were carried to Diabolus to the castle, to wit, what my Lord Wilby Will's men had done, and whom they had taken prisoners. Then Diabolus called for Wilby Will to know the certainty of this matter. So he asked him, and he told him. Then did the giant send for the prisoners, and when they were come, demanded of them who they were, whence they came, and what they did in the camp of Shaddai. And they told him. Then he sent them to ward again. Not many days afterward he sent for them to him again, and then asked them if they would be willing to serve him against their former captains. They then told him that they did not so much live by religion as by the fates of fortune, and that since his lordship was willing to entertain them, they should be willing to serve him. Now while things were thus in hand, there was one captain, Anything, a great doer in the town of Mansoul. And to this captain Anything did Diabolus send these men, and a note under his hand to receive them into his company, the contents of which letter were thus. Anything, my darling, the three men that are the bearers of this letter have a desire to serve me in the war, nor know I better to whose conduct to commit them than to thine. Receive them therefore in my name, and as need shall require, make use of them against Shaddai and his men. Farewell. So they came, and he received them, and he made of two of them sergeants, but he made Mr. Man's Invention his ancient bearer. But thus much for this, and now to return to the camp. They of the camp did also some execution upon the town, for they did beat down the roof of the Lord Mayor's house, and so laid him more open than he was before. They had almost, with a sling, slain my Lord Wilby Will outright, but he made a shift to recover again. But they made a notable slaughter among the aldermen, for with only one shot they cut off six of them, to wit, Mr. Swearing, Mr. Whoring, Mr. Fury, Mr. Stand Two Lies, Mr. Drunkenness, and Mr. Cheating. They also dismounted the two guns that stood upon the tower over Eargate and laid them flat in the dirt. I told you before that the king's noble captains had drawn off to their winter quarters and had there entrenched themselves and their carriages, so as, with the best advantage to their king, and the greatest annoyance to the enemy, they might give seasonable and warm alarms to the town of Mansoul. And this design of them did so hit, that I may say they did almost what they would to the molestation of the corporation. For now could not Mansoul sleep securely as before, nor could they now go to their debaucheries with that quietness as in times past. For they had from the camp of Shaddai such frequent, warm, and terrifying alarms, yea, alarms upon alarms, first at one gate and then at another, and again at all the gates at once, that they were broken as to former peace. Yea, they had their alarms so frequently, and that when the nights were at longest, the weather coldest, and so consequently the season most unseasonable, that winter was to the town of Mansoul a winter by itself. Sometimes the trumpets would sound, and sometimes the slings would whirl the stones into the town. Sometimes 10,000 of the king's soldiers would be running around the walls of Mansoul at midnight, shouting and lifting up the voice for the battle. Sometimes again some of them in the town would be wounded, and their cry and lamentable voice would be heard to the great molestation of the now languishing town of Mansoul. Yea, so distressed with those that laid siege against them were they, that I dare say Diavolus their king had in these days his rest much broken. In these days, as I was informed, new thoughts, and thoughts that began to run counter one to another, began to possess the minds of the men of the town of Mansoul. Some would say, "There is no living thus." Others would then reply, "This will be over shortly." Then would a third stand up and answer, "Let us turn to the king Shaddai, and so put an end to these troubles." And a fourth would come in with a fear, saying, "I doubt he will not receive us. The old gentleman, too, the recorder, that was so before Diabolus took Mansoul, he also began to talk aloud, and his words were now to the town of Mansoul as if they were great claps of thunder. No noise now so terrible to Mansoul as was his, with the noise of the soldiers and the shoutings of the captains. Also things began to grow scarce in Mansoul. Now the things that her soul lusted after were departing from her. Upon all her pleasant things there was a blast, a burning instead of beauty. Wrinkles now and some shows of the shadow of death were upon the inhabitants of Mansoul. And now, oh, how glad would Mansoul have been to have enjoyed quietness and satisfaction of mind, though joined with the meanest condition in the world. The captains also, in the deep of this winter, did send by the mouth of Onergis, trumpeter, a summons to Mansoul to yield up herself to the king, the great king Shaddai. They sent at once, and twice, and thrice, not knowing but that at some times there might be in Mansoul some willingness to surrender up themselves unto them, might they but have the color of an invitation to do it under. Yea, so far as I could gather, the town had been surrendered up to them before now, had it not been for the opposition of old incredulity and the fickleness of the thoughts of my Lord will be will. Diabolus also began to rave, wherefore Mansoul, as to yielding, was not yet all of one mind. Therefore they still lay distressed under these perplexing fears. I told you but now that they of the king's army had this winter sent three times to Mansoul to submit herself. The first time the trumpeter went, he went with words of peace, telling them that the captains, the noble captains of Shaddai, did pity and bewail the misery of the now perishing town of Mansoul, and were troubled to see them so much to stand in the way of their own deliverance. He said, moreover, that the captains bid him tell them that if now poor Mansoul would humble herself and turn, her former rebellions and the most notorious treasons should by their merciful king be forgiven them, yea, and forgotten too. And having bid them beware that they stood not in their own way, that they opposed not themselves, nor made themselves their own losers, he returned again into the camp. The second time the trumpeter went, he did treat them a little more roughly, for after sound of trumpet he told them that their continuing in their rebellion did but chafe and heat the spirit